From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of messages on the subject of prayer, dealing especially with Christ's own instructions as found in the Lord's Prayer. The first, and indeed the chief petition in the prayer, and in all prayer, is, "Hallowed be thy name." As Dr. Cairns will point out, we frequently become so engrossed with our own needs and comfort that we forget that the chief end of man is to glorify God. This should lie at the heart of all of our praying. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns speaks of the difference between carnal presumption and the true assurance of salvation.
Among professing Christians, I'm talking about the people you'll find in church, the people you'll find listening to broadcasts such as this one, you will find probably three basic classes of people. There are those who are genuinely saved. There are those who are presumptuous, and they glibly presume that they're saved without any biblical basis for such a presumption or an assurance. Then there are those who lack assurance of salvation. They may be saved, but they don't enjoy the assurance of salvation. Now, assurance is not presumption. Presumption is a sin. Assurance is a grace and a gift that the Lord gives His people. Sinful presumption leaves a man in his sin. Sinful presumption lets him easily conclude that he is right with God. He has usually no great apprehension of his own sinfulness, no experience of genuine repentance, no love for God, no real commitment to Christ. There's been no change of heart and life. There may be some external adherence to a code or to a set of standards, but there is no desire for holiness. There is no likeness to Christ. There is no burden for prayer. There is no love for Scripture. You'll find that we have people like this all over the place. They say, "Oh, I made a decision. I walked an aisle. I'm not a bad person. I'm this, I'm that, I'm the other thing." And they presume that they are saved. But they're not saved. All the presumption in the world will not save a soul. Any man who presumes he's saved because he did something is not saved. He has no right to say he's saved. Matthew chapter 7 makes that very clear. The Lord Jesus spoke of people who would appear before him in the judgment day and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me." Now, what's wrong with these people? You would look at them and say, "Oh, those are saved people. I would love to be like them. Miracle workers, casting out devils. They have great experiences. Surely, surely they are the real thing." Jesus says, "Not at all. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. You're still sinners." Now look at these people as they appear before God. And what are they saying? They're saying, "Lord, have we not done this? We preached, we prophesied, we did this, we did that, we did the other thing." Do you see something about them? The reason they give for entrance into heaven is what they did. And I want to tell you, any man who answers the question, "How do you know or why do you think you're saved?" by saying, "Well, I have done this or that," is absolutely on a wrong footing. Sinful presumption. But then there are people who have real assurance. There are others who lack assurance. And if you're saved, you should seek the Lord until you get assurance. You see, assurance, first of all, is confident in the work of Christ. Assurance recognizes, I'm a sinner. There's not a thing in me that deserves anything from God but wrath. I have no confidence in me, no confidence in the flesh. But am I confident that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God? Am I confident that Jesus Christ did live a perfect life and obey the law of God for me? Am I confident that he died an atoning death and that he rose again the third day, that he has fully met all the standards of God and his law? Am I confident that God is satisfied with Christ? Am I confident in the finished work of the cross? Yes, I'm confident in that. And then assurance is confident in the promise of Christ. Am I confident that Christ cannot lie? Am I certain that Jesus Christ cannot fail? Therefore, when he says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out, can I cast myself entirely in that? Sure I can. I remember the time as a young man when God brought me to that place, confident in the work of Christ, confident in the word of Christ, and that brought me to a confident assurance of God's salvation. I trust today that you're saved and sure of it, and not guilty of wicked presumption.
Sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing his mercy and his grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, he'll prepare for us a place. That will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory, shout the victory, shout the victory.
While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky.
But when
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns's book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
It's not only wicked doctrine that profanes the name of the Lord, it's evil living. David caused the enemies of God to blaspheme. It's a very interesting thing in the Jewish Masorah. The scholarly edition of the Masoretes of the Old Testament text. And they have ways of marking peculiarities in the text. And they mark that text. And they really are saying that the translation, "He caused the enemies of God to blaspheme," is trying to save a little face for David. Because as they found the text, it said, "David, by his evil living, blasphemed the name of the Lord." There's a lot of truth in that, you know. You don't need to curse and swear to blaspheme God. You just need to name his name and then live like a worldling. That blasphemes God. And it causes others to blaspheme him as well. It is profaning his name. And very often men will profane his name by the very things that they do in his name. And they say for his glory. When people get away from this book and they start inventing ways in which to serve God, the likelihood is they will not serve God, they will profane his name. That's why as a Protestant and as a Presbyterian, I believe in what is called the regulative principle of worship. I believe that our worship must be based upon that book. What we say and what we do must either be commanded by or be allowed by or come as necessary consequence of what is said in that book. God is interested in how we worship. And we are not permitted to introduce into the worship of God anything that happens to tickle the fancy of man at a given point in time. I heard a leading charismatic say recently about certain programs, I couldn't watch these things, but oh, they're good for young people. Because while I couldn't listen to the hard rock music, yet the music speaks to young people. I'm sure it does. But I want to tell you, it's not the message of God that's given them. The whole idea we can introduce whatever we like into worship just so long as somebody out there likes it. We'll end up profaning God's name. Not promoting it or proclaiming it. Nadab and Abihu took fire. God said it's false fire, and he damned them for it. King Saul felt he was put into a corner. Samuel's late for the sacrifice. We can't go out to battle without the sacrifice. Instead of reasoning as a man of God, therefore, if I can't go to battle without the sacrifice, and the priest is not here to offer the sacrifice, therefore the time for battle is not yet. Instead of arguing like a man of God, he invaded the priest's office, and he did what he ought not to do. And he said, I did it to serve God. But God said, you profaned my name, and he put him from the throne. Isaiah says in 66 verse 5, hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you and cast you out for my name's sake said, let the Lord be glorified. A direct parallel to what the Lord Jesus warns us of in John 16 verse 2. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. There are people who are setting out to do things in the name of the Lord, and all they are doing is profaning his name. I bought my wife a very nice stocking stuffer for Christmas. I don't go shopping too often, but I went shopping myself. You husbands take note and be good like me. I went and did this, and I went to Best Buy, and I looked around to see what I could get for her that she would really enjoy. And I found a set of four videos that were from the BBC on the history, rather a half-jocular look at the whole historical saga of the Crusades. I must say, Joan has enjoyed it vicariously. I have sat and watched them all. She hasn't seen one of them yet, but that's the whole idea. When you buy your wife something, make sure it's going to be something you like. So, you know, I've read apologies for the Crusades. It was a hellish, popish, vicious, wicked, you can name what, put whatever epithet you like to it, adventure in the rottenest of power politics by the man of sin who sits on the banks of the Tiber, all in the name of Jesus Christ. To rape
to mutilate and to murder friends and foes alike, all in the name of the Prince of Peace
that has condemned the Middle East to centuries of bloodshed and horror.
Think of the things people do in the name of Jesus Christ. I have seen Klansmen on television spew out their murderous filth using the name of Jesus. I want to tell you, my friend, that is profaning God's name. Profaning it. Be very, very careful. Be very, 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 very careful of ever mixing a social agenda or a political agenda with the name of Jesus Christ. That is not to say that God is neutral in all the matters that have to do with social and political issues. He is not. He is not. But it is to say that we are so viciously perverted in our own hearts that we will take the almighty name of God and we will stamp it on the designs of our own heart. And it profanes his name. Be very careful of that. For so often God is profaned by what people do in his name, professing that it is for his glory. Now, nothing vexes and nothing should vex a believer so much as men dishonoring the Lord's name. The psalmist David in Psalm 42:10 says, "As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God?" When they mock God, David says, it's like a sword in my bones. So what can we do about it? What can we do about it? You look out, when you see the president of this country at his inauguration, take the Holy Bible and actually give his speech of all things, from the book of Galatians, basing much of what he says on the book of Galatians. And the more you know of the book of Galatians and the more you know of this president, the more you will see what a blasphemy that is. When you see that, that's profaning God's name. When you look at the churches and their ecumenical program, invoking God's name, that's profaning God's name. When you look at so many professing Christians living like the devil in a wicked world and being just as wicked as the world, that's profaning God's name. And oh, it ought to vex the people of God. We have got to the place where in everyday language the Lord's name just comes tumbling out of people, and his name is used with the utmost vanity and the utmost emptiness, and people just will talk about him in any way possible, obviously despising the God of this book. The idiot who edits the Greenville News some time ago wrote an editorial about fundamentalists. And he mocked the God that they believe in, this vengeful God. He is so intellectually bright that he could not believe in a God of judgment. But what says the book? What says God's word? Anytime people say, "I conceive God to be," or "I think God must be," or "the way I look at God is," they're dealing with an idol that profanes the name of the Lord. God is what He has said He is, and anything else is the devil's lie. Let us learn it. Know how it ought to grieve us that even those who say they want to hold up that book are afraid of the God of the book. They're afraid to let God be God as He is revealed by Himself in this book. What can we do about it? The first and foremost thing we must do is we must make it a matter of serious, earnest prayer. Hallowed be Thy name. Hallowed be Thy name. That must be the material for prayer.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.